Good morning and welcome to Strictly Marketing Talk Radio. We're so glad you were able to tune in this morning, and I have a fabulous returning guest on the show today, Jennifer Ransall-Smith. And for those of you who do not know Jennifer, she is the founder of Brand ID Strategic Partners. It's redefining the way experts and entrepreneurs strategically leverage their skills and talents to position themselves as industry rock stars. After more than a decade of helping some of the nation's most prominent brands like Burger King, AT&T, Texaco, Clairol, and Coke position and differentiate themselves in the marketplace, Jennifer recognized the urgent need for an agency that positioned people the way that marketing and advertising agencies positioned products and services. It resulted in the birth of Brand ID Strategic Partners, and it's one of the first full-service personal branding agencies in the nation. And I want to welcome to the show Jennifer Ransall-Smith. Jennifer, how are you today?
I'm fantastic, Carrie. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, we're so glad to have you back on the show. I know it has been a while and you've had a lot going on. If you wouldn't mind, Jennifer, just take a quick minute and just tell the listening audience, for those that have not heard you before or are not familiar with you, just a little bit more about how you got started, you know, in this business, and also too, for the listeners who do know you, kind of what you've been up to lately.
Well, I started my career as a copywriter. I'm originally from Los Angeles, and when I got out of undergrad, went to advertising school and went back home to freelance for a moment and decided I wanted to move to New York, found a recruiter who found me a job in, not New York, in Bethesda, Maryland. So I ended up here, and from here, moved my way up to Madison Avenue, where I worked on a lot of big brands, and around 1997, read an article called The Brand Called You in Fast Company magazine with Tom Peters, and just fell in love with the idea. I knew what we were doing for big brands and how we had an entire team. When you were, if Burger King were a client, I was a copywriter, I had an art director, we had a graphic designer, we had someone who did research and an account executive, a media buyer. So you had all these people coming together to elevate the visibility of that particular brand. But that didn't exist for people. And I started paying attention also to how you could have people with very similar skill sets, same background, but the trajectory of one person's career literally took off while another person's might be kind of stalled. So I started really paying attention and finding anything. And in the late 1990s and early 2000s, there were very little about personal branding, but I just knew that was going to be the direction. And so as I started climbing the corporate ladder and moved back to the DC area to get married, I was hired by a branding firm in Georgetown, and we worked with global clients, but even more so learning how to do 360s and really look at every single aspect of a brand. It let me know that really working with people was going to be the way to go. So about 8 years ago, I put my notice in, and the idea was to start a place that an individual could come and really learn how to become the chief marketing officer of themselves. How do you decide how to get out there and play a bigger game? How do you raise your invisibility? For entrepreneurs, it's crucial, because if no one knows how great you are, you're not going to have clients. But also for those professionals and executives in corporate America, what happens is most of the time they're so busy trying to impress the people within the four walls of the organization that they work that no one outside the organization knows they exist and who they are. And they leave themselves very susceptible to change. If change happens, if they're laid off, then all of a sudden they're struggling. And these oftentimes are people with MBAs or law degrees, and they're trying to like go on Glassdoor.com and find a job. So what I do is help people take ownership of how they're presented in the world, decide how they want to be positioned, and show them how to amplify and elevate their visibility.
And, you know, that is such a wonderful description, Jennifer. And, you know, branding is such a hot topic right now. You know, we recently had Rob Basso, president of Advantage Payroll. He was on the show 2 weeks ago, and that was the topic that he had talked about, was, you know, branding. And not that he has a branding company, but he, you know, really built his personal and business brand. And it's true how the two, you really have to build them, you know, together. I mean, don't you think they're one for all for one? It's kind of the same thing.
Absolutely. Just like if you look at you, Carrie, if someone accepts and decides they want to come on the station, or They want to be featured in your magazine. They're coming for you, you know, for the reputation that you've built, for getting out there saying what we stand for. And so you often have a change in leadership and organizations take a nosedive. People, I am in a leadership organization right now, and we have someone who is a I know someone who's a vice president of a bank, and he was there for 8 years and had hundreds of millions of dollars in clientele and decided it was no longer a great fit and left the organization. And a lot of his clients are moving with him. And he's with a major, major bank, and the bank that he's going to is a small community bank. So it really is building the reputation of the individual and the trust in the individual and what it is that you're saying that I'm going to get that is the most important thing.
And what do you find, Jennifer, that are some really more of the common misconceptions about branding when you're starting your business for the first time? If, you know, if you're looking at starting your own business, what are some common misconceptions that you see about branding?
I would say the biggest one is that it's not that it's negotiable. I think that the fact of the matter is every single person already has a brand and reputation. And unfortunately, 90% of the people don't know how they're perceived in the marketplace. You know, you have so many people who do what they do, and those closest to them couldn't even describe what they do. And so one of the big things is not taking a moment to really clarify so those in your circle of influence can wholeheartedly walk away and say what it is that you stand for and why doing business with you is great. Oftentimes when people hear branding, you associate it with big brands, with big companies, with the McDonald's, with the Burger King. People associate it with logos, people associate it with all of that. But in essence, in a nutshell, and something that we learned years and years ago, it basically is your reputation. So every single person has a reputation, whether you're a stay-at-home mom or the president of the United States. And those that are most successful are those that understand how to manage and take charge of that reputation.
And that is some really good insight, because you're right. I see people who, you know, in business especially, that they're really, they know what they do, but it's really hard for them to have other people that are working for them, you know, reflect that to other people. Like, how, you know, what is it exactly that you do? And it's, for some reason, people have a tendency to make that very difficult.
Yes. And you know why? Because people, if I could drill one thing in, people don't take the time. So you know what you do, Carrie. But if you didn't take the time to really sit there and write down, who am I? What's my philosophy? What do I stand for? And put it down on paper and make sure that everything that you do embodies that. And then know that when you're on-ramping someone on your team, that you're saying, this is who we are, instead of, this is what your job, your skill set. I'm expecting you to be customer service and answer the phone, and here's what we do. It really is the difference between an organization that thrives and others that don't. I just joined a place. They were just rated, I saw this morning, top 20 places to work out in the country. It's called Soldier Fit, and it's a boot camp. And I've had lots of clients that I've actually happened to have lots of clients that were personal trainers that ran boot camps. But this particular boot camp was started by someone who came back from Iraq and had post-traumatic stress and ended up in a psych ward. Ended up 300 pounds overweight. And when he got out, after he tried to commit suicide, when he got out, he lost weight. He started training, lost weight, felt better. And so he started this place that is essentially military guys doing full-on amazing exercises. And he wrote down his mission statement. And when I walked in the place, I was just blown away. And it talked about how I want to create a place that that you can dream. I want to show you what's possible. I remember being that kid that nobody chose because I was overweight. Nobody wanted me on their team because I was too slow. I remember what it feels like to be invited to go to the beach or to a pool party, but I didn't want to take off my shirt because I didn't like how my body felt. We don't want to create a place that you have to feel healthy to walk in the door. Well, I mean, to feel and already be in shape, because if we were that organization, we wouldn't be great trainers now, would we? So it goes down and it breaks down this. Now, I've been a member for 3 weeks. I've already had two people sign up. I memorized what he wrote. And when he walked in, he, and this particular location, it's a new location that opened up, and he talked about every single day, and I have no affiliation with the military, none. I don't really know anybody in my family. I mean, you know, grandparents and stuff served, but I don't have an allegiance to the military other than I'm just proud that they serve. But he walked in and he said every day, every 22 minutes, someone in the United States is committing suicide. And we started this foundation, and this is what we believe, and this is why we're here. It really was a testament to someone who understood. Hundreds of people are now coming through those doors and signing up. Everyone's working out. The workouts are amazing, but it's really how you feel. Your brand is being really clear on how you're leaving that person, what it is, setting the intention that after you have an interaction with me, you feel a certain way. But I'm in the driver's seat to decide how I want you to feel. Most people don't take the time. Their mindset is, I'm trying to get my next client. I'll do what it takes. I don't want to spread. I don't want to lose people, so I don't want to really niche down. But really taking the time to understand where you can build in your personality, where you can be very clear, then that's what's going to set you apart.
Now, you've been building a successful brand, well, brands actually. Any mistakes that you have made along the way that you would warn others to avoid in the branding process?
Absolutely. I am just like everyone else who's a cobbler, who often spent all my time working on everyone else and not really wanting to niche myself. I remember specifically when I came home, I only worked with small businesses. Even though I had come from big brands, I immediately felt like as soon as I came home, my mindset was I'm going to work with small businesses and help them. And this was around 2007, 2008. And I remember taking a huge hit because, as you remember, the economy tanked. People weren't doing well. Small businesses weren't making any money. And so they weren't able to pay me. And so then my fees were lower and I was like literally suffering financially. And I remember someone who actually ended up being someone that I coached with. She and I were on a speaking on a panel together. And she looked at me and she said, it's so interesting how women, when they come, when they become entrepreneurs, they don't diversify. And they get really strict. I'm working with small businesses or I'm working with here instead of, you know, doing what they would do with their portfolio and have different options. She's like, now that the economy tanked, you have no other income coming in. Jennifer, you should absolutely be working with corporate. So that was a huge turning point for me. I also, there were many points in my career where I played small myself. And, just let me just work in my particular area, even though I had people from all over the country who have been calling and who have been clients. And so I would say one of the biggest lessons that I have learned is sometimes you're going in a direction. When I decided to set up a full service agency, and that means that we have clients who come to us and we do what's called a 4-hour VIP session, and I have a team of three. Two of them are MBAs, and we go in and we look at every aspect of how you want to be positioned. And then we put a blueprint together. And for some clients, we have as many as 7 or 8 people working for you. That could be we're bringing on an executive writer, a photographer. That could mean a social media person. Most often it has publicity and publicists involved. So it's very, very customized for each person and what they're trying to approach. And I think that when I first had the vision, it sounded great when I started trying to implement and educate people on what personal branding was. It became overwhelming, and I pulled back on my vision. And so I didn't go full on like I should have for several years. I started doing more coaching and that kind of thing, and then really realizing it was a problem. Now I have clients who are maybe a VP at a major financial company, several people from senior executives, maybe like a company like Booz Allen, or it's interesting. And so many people are in the same boat that they aren't, they haven't really thought about, given much thought to doing anything but doing a darn good job in their job, and realize that they've left themselves vulnerable. So it has really unleashed again with me the importance of following through on what your original vision was, if that's where you still want to go, And so that's what I decided to do about a year and a half ago.
And that is wonderful advice, Jennifer. And it's so ironic because when I heard you talking about that, especially about diversifying your services or your products, and you're right, I think a lot of people are guilty of, you know, doing that. They focus on one thing, one location. And I would even say, too, with diversifying, you know, look at other locations. If you're successful at what you do in your local area, there's no reason in the world why you can't be successful at it, you know, in another location. I'm a great example of that. You know, when we rebranded the magazine to only cover marketing, I thought, oh, this will just be regional at first. We'll just cover Florida, and then we'll grow to be a national magazine. And the exact opposite happened. It was more people were interested in it nationally rather than locally. And even regionally, and, you know, not just with advertisers, but people who were contributing content, the attention that we were getting in the press was not local. So, you know, you really have to kind of, you know, be open to that, I think.
I do, too. And I think that for both of us, when one of the best things that is not necessarily branding, but it's important. I'm really big on who your circle of influence is, because it can limit or expand your brand. And I think that a lot of times it is much easier to try to step back and play smaller and underestimate your ability. And when you're surrounded by people who have a big vision for you as well, and they know what you're capable of, they're going to push you in that direction. Because I definitely think that just the example that you gave is something that a lot of listeners, that a lot of us, we have this great idea, and then all of a sudden, immediately we default to what is the smaller version of that look like.
Absolutely. That great advice. Great advice. Now, what about those that are looking to change their brand or maybe add another product or service? What advice would you give to them?
Going back to best thing that I would think about is getting clear on your ideal audience, understanding everything about him or her, if it's a couple, whatever. I mean, everything. I mean, put up a vision board for who your ideal person is. Where do they shop? What do they do? What's keeping them up at night? What are their stresses? How do they celebrate? Where do they vacation? What is their name? Do they have family? You know, every single thing, understanding. So that when you are looking to expand, it's not coming from a place of, ooh, I just want to add this. It's looking at who your audience is. Is this something that's going to be of service for them? Is this something that they truly need? When I'm looking at all of my clientele and when I'm looking at everything that I do on a daily basis, is this something that is the missing gap? Because if it is, then it's a natural fit and a natural brand extension. What happens a lot of times is we start doing things because we think it's going to be great and we can make some money, but it's out of alignment with what that original vision is. So brand extensions work amazingly well when you can say, I have this marketing magazine and we give you insight and we give you everything that you can possibly think of to answer the questions that you can do. I mean, that you have, and you're sitting here and you're thinking about my ideal client, and I'm like, okay, this small, you know, business marketer, and they really want to generate six figures in their business. What's the next? Well, maybe the next thing is eventually, you know, full service agency, or maybe the next thing is consulting. So it really is asking yourself what that missing gap is and really building your brand from there, you know, for years we've offered this and we've serviced you in the highest way and we've realized this is what was missing. This is what you need. Here's one of the missing links to get you to the next level. Here's something that's going to be added for you. And so we decided to add this into our offerings now because, you know, we've been paying attention to what you're asking for. So I would say thinking of it with the lens of who your client and who you're servicing. Absolutely.
Thank you, Jennifer. I appreciate that. That's some really, really great advice with branding. Now, I know as we're kind of closing out our interview, I wanted to talk a little bit about brand ID. Now, I know you've recently you've been making some changes, and tell us a little bit about what's going on with brand ID.
Yeah, actually, it's a really exciting time. We've been around for 8 years. We are a full service agency. We work with entrepreneurs, executives, and professionals across the country. I would say right about now, 90% of our audience have been women. But ironically, in the last couple months, I've had some very high-level men who've contacted the agency and we've started working with. What we do is we literally look at our clients on how – let me give you paint a picture for you. You look at – you often have people talk about Kris Jenner, Kardashian's mom, and, you know, how she's built this empire. Actually, she spoke at Harvard University. I don't know if you're familiar. And whether you agree with the Kardashians or not, we all have our own opinion about that whole family. To be able to have someone whose entire job is to elevate you, most people don't have. And so most people don't have never had the luxury of walking into a room and saying, here's what my vision is. How can you help me achieve it? The only time that happens is if you're a celebrity and you have an agency like CAA, or you're an athlete where they say, okay, what we want to do is we want to parlay you to the next level, build your brand so we can get out there. And you, again, have agents and talent managers. But other than that, the individual nowhere in the United States has a place that they can walk into and say, I want to be the next Susie Orman or Dr. Oz. I have an MBA. I'm from Ivy League. I've spent years doing this, or I'm not. You know, I'm really talented therapist, and I you know, want to elevate children and relationships, their self-esteem. And how do I do that? How do I build my brand? How do I have marketing collateral material that supports me? How do I really get clear on what my values, what I stand on? How do I have a team so to ensure that if I'm hitting social media, if I'm hitting the marketplace, when there are opportunities to appear on stages and national conferences or industry publications, that I have someone who's out there managing and helping me navigate those roads, because I have a full-time job and I'm working. And so that's what we do. We are in the process now of going to be working with a major university, and we're going to be doing a lot of their staff, or professors. But it runs the gamut. My clients, I've had a rocket scientist from NASA. I've had doctors, I've dentists. I mean, it literally runs the gamut. And I've had small business owners. And so what we do is we do everything from coaching the person who wants to work one-on-one with me and just have strategies to have the support and accountability and a blueprint that I put together. We do VIP sessions where we work with you for long periods of time, and we literally break out, and then our team goes back and we put an entire blueprint. And then we do full service where we take that blueprint and we put a team together to implement. So it can look any way. I've gone into companies like Duke Energy and worked with all the women at their nuclear plants. So it really runs the gamut of showing people the importance of elevation and working only with people who decided that it's my time and I'm ready to play a much bigger game.
And that's wonderful that you are putting that together and being able to offer that to businesses and individuals. And you're right. I think you really struck a chord. They have to be ready to go to the next level.
It's uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. It really is uncomfortable. And I have so many people. I mean, and some people are in very precarious situations. I have clients who work for major agencies. One works for one of the largest consulting firms in the world. And she's not able to do a lot of things. I mean, it's like a 25 and 35 page document that says what she can't do. So you have people who have gaps in their career where they're, you know, at the top of their game. However, if anything happens, they're very vulnerable because they can't go out and blog, they can't go speak, they can't do this. And so it really is paying attention to let people understand, whether you work with me or not, take ownership. I mean, if I pull up your name, I should be able to find that you're an expert. Everybody's Googleable now. And so understanding that you want to be in the driver's seat of how you're perceived.
And that's so true. And I've worked with some clients before too, Jennifer, that, you know, same situation. They're working at a very high level company and they want to keep everything hush hush and, you know, put this in someone else's. And it's like, you know, if you really want to do this, you're going to have to take a leap of faith at some point. You're not ready. You know, you just,
yep,
you
yep.
have to, you know, like you said, you really have to take ownership. So I'm glad that you shared that with me. And you're right. Kris Jenner, That must have been an interesting. Were you able to attend that speaking engagement?
No, but what I did, there was a point where I was really paying attention because I think that it's a remarkable case study of someone who has built a brand out of a tragedy that a lot of other people have experienced that same tragedy, and their families are not walking away with $100 million deals, mm-hmm. you know? And so it really is understanding the brilliance of having somebody in your corner who will who's looking for opportunities for you and the right opportunities. So, you know, we could all be at a level like that necessarily through that way. But, you know, if we had that in the corner. So I really like that example because the negativity that she gets in the family. And I'm not necessarily, like I said, a fan. I don't watch the show or anything like that. However, the fact of the matter is every single person has built a brand within that organization now. And we're not talking about, other than the clothing store, not to diminish running a retail outlet at all, but we're talking about you have a lot of people out there with major degrees, major background education who are not, who can't give visibility like that.
And you're right. Whether you like them or dislike, you know, the Kardashians or the show or the brand or whatever, you have heard of them. So whether you like it or not, you have heard of them. So I'm glad that you brought that up. And just kind of in closing, Jennifer, I know you're participating in our marketing contest for, you know, for the magazine, which we are just now starting to promote. And we're very excited about the marketing contest. But you are actually participating in the prize package. And if you wouldn't mind, just take a minute, tell everybody what you're going to be giving away to the winner.
I am very excited to have been asked to participate in the prize package. And what I'm going to give away is two sessions with me. So the first session, we're going to do a brand audit. We're going to look at how you're showing up. We're going to look at all aspects of your business, where you stand right now, what your vision is, where those gaps are. And then our next session, what we're going to do is we're going to put a little blueprint for you together to allow you to start moving in the direction and close some of those gaps so you can start building the visibility and moving toward where your original intention and goal is.
And that is a wonderful package. And definitely, I'm very excited for whoever wins because we've just put together such an awesome prize package. And we're so thankful that you are a part of that as well. So we thank you so much for that. And we look forward to seeing who the winner is going to be in September. So
very
excited about that. But Jennifer, I want to say thank you again for joining us today for the show. I really, as I said, I always appreciate everything that you bring to the table, you know, for the listeners and everything that you're doing for the people, not just in your community, but across the United States. You just bring a lot of value to everyone. So we really appreciate you being on the show again.
Thank you, Carrie. I appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. And I want to thank everyone for tuning in to listen to the show today. And just stay tuned for more details about the marketing contest. We'll be posting things on Facebook, on our fan page for Strictly Marketing Magazine, and we will also be posting on the website, and you'll be able to download the entry form within the next week or so to participate in the contest. And again, thank you for tuning in, and as always, we are wishing you